Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports, with another banger. How the new college football playoff format came to be and what it means for the sport's future. Ross, thanks for your time and a great, great story. My goodness, some juicy nuggets throughout. Part of it was when Bowlesby got up, the meeting's not over, it is for me, and scars. And it doesn't surprise us, but was there something inside of all this that even surprised you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, a lot of it probably isn't too surprising the way it went down, but there were certainly, I mean, for Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, and Tony Pacini, the Big Ten commissioner, to acknowledge publicly that they would have left the CFP and kind of abandoned all other conferences and done their own thing if the revenue structure was not to their liking. For them to do that, that was even unexpected for me, for them to publicly do that. So, you know, that piece of it was pretty interesting for me. I think Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner, kind of describing the meetings as he did, heated, right, contentious, everybody bargaining, all using those words. That was a little surprising. Everybody was pretty honest in the story with me during interviews about this. And I think part of that is because everybody, in a way, everyone is maybe not completely satisfied with the deal. And that includes the SEC and Big Ten. I think everybody thought they had earned more. And so when you get a situation where the parties, you know, none of the parties are real happy, they tend to talk or want to talk. And that's kind of what happened here.
Ross, you mentioned on Sankey and the revenue and like how he was agreed to it. Was this where he made his I mean, I guess maybe heel turn would be maybe harsh, or maybe it's not. But it seemed like at this point he was operating under the "this is what's best for everybody." But if he said, "If you guys aren't going to see this and have this stupid alliance or whatever, then I'm moving on, and we're just going to move forward."
Yeah, I mean, I think that some might say that Greg Sankey now for a couple of years has been a war path over the alliance. And I think that might probably be an accurate description. He has found every chance that he could get to criticize the alliance and to mention its failures. You know, and for those listening who don't know what the alliance is, because there are plenty who don't, because it didn't last very long, about 10 months in existence. It was the ACC and Big Ten and Pac-12 got together after Oklahoma and Texas, after the SEC acquired Oklahoma and Texas, basically, and those three leagues got together. You know, they said at the time it wasn't to block any expansion for the CFP, but that's exactly what happened, right? They blocked CFP expansion, which was in part led by the SEC and Notre Dame in the Big 12. And you know, Bob Boltzmann was on that subcommittee. And so they blocked the CFP from expanding 2 years ago. And it, you know, probably cost a lot of money. It cost themselves a lot of money. One of the leagues doesn't even exist anymore. And who knows, it may have had they voted for that expansion 2 years ago. So, every chance Sankey gets, he does make mention of the alliance and its failures and why it delayed the expansion process, how frustrating it was. And, you know, I think I believe I quoted him in that story as saying it, but from that January 2022 meeting where Bob Boltzmann infamously got up midway through the meeting and left because he was so frustrated at the alliance and their indecision. And their purposeful, it seemed, delays on this process. At that same meeting, I think Sankey got up and told the room that the next time that they would have a proposal on the table, it would not look like that one. And lo and behold, 2 years later, boy, it did not.
So do you think, with the benefit of hindsight, and there's a lot of people that could use that and make different decisions they did, primarily the alliance, but would Bob Boltzmann sit and grit his teeth through that meeting knowing what would come next, or do you think that was just inevitable anyways?
You know, this probably was inevitable, the two leagues, SEC and Big Ten, growing, you know, larger and more powerful and kind of being aggressive. I'm sure this was going to happen, likely. But certainly it was expedited because of what happened 2 years ago and the delay, and then that may be leading to further expansion and then further realignment. And, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, so things just kind of got accelerated. Right. You know, what I would love to know, you know, is the regret from the members of the alliance, and really I was only able to speak to one. George Klyavkov is not speaking to media, and Kevin Warren's now just out of college athletics, but Jim Phillips, the only one remains of the alliance. He did tell me, you know, I quote him in that piece, and he did tell me he doesn't believe that 2 years ago in 2022 that the proposal was finalized enough to say that it would have been vastly different than this one. Now, there are four or five people who are in the room that disagree with him, right? And they say that the proposal was very different. It was more measured and it was fair, more fair, as Bob Boltzmann put it. Jack Hawkins is a president who's on the CFP Board of Managers, the Board of Presidents that governs the CFP. He said, for instance, you know, this is just one example, but he said that the previous proposal 2 years ago, that the group of five would have gotten roughly twice as much money in distribution from the CFP as it is getting this time around. So a lot of people disagreed with Jim Phillips that 2 years ago, the proposal would have been a lot less fair. He seemed to think that there was really no proposal and that it wasn't close to any kind of finalization.
So this billion-dollar lawsuit that Jeffrey Kessler, I think, is the one that is against the NCAA, $1 billion. How many of the FBS schools will be up to pick up that tab? And will the bigger conferences making the most money pay the same as much as ACC or Big 12 schools, or will they pay more?
Yeah, well, those are great questions. We don't really know the answer. You know, this is the most significant of all the things that could impact or determine a future model of college athletics. This is the biggest one. It's the House antitrust lawsuit, and Jeffrey Kessler is the lead attorney, as you mentioned. He's Tom Brady's former attorney. And he is the lead attorney in the case for the plaintiffs who are suing the NCAA in the power conferences, seeking basically back pay for NIL of the previous 4 years before NIL came into existence. So 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020. If you combine those 4 years of name, image, and likeness pay based on broadcasting rights and such, you get a number that's probably well over $1 billion. A settlement could be more in the billion range, and that's what's going on. The discussion is whether college leaders will settle or not. Seems to me that there will be a settlement at some point, and the settlement is twofold. You know, it is the back pay, the $1 billion, and it's the forward pay of a revenue-sharing model for athletes in the future. It has to be both of those things. So it's extremely costly. Now, to your question, the lawsuit only focuses really on the power conference teams. So the four power conferences, about 70 teams, that's the focus for Jeffrey Kessler and the plaintiffs. The Group of Five, the FCS, all other NCAA programs, I don't think will be in any way required to be a part of a revenue sharing moving forward, right? Now, will they have to contribute a portion to back pay? You know, maybe they might have to pool their money. The NCAA itself, the NCAA as an organization is a defendant. They are listed. And of course, the NCAA's main source of revenue is the NCAA basketball tournament. It produces about $1.8 billion or so a year in revenue. So they'd have to use that money, which if they're going to use that money, right, that's the money they distribute to schools. So it would be coming in a way from the schools. But the real important part of any kind of house settlement is the forward, the future revenue sharing. And I think there's been numbers floated out there. I put it in the story, my last week's story with Jeffrey Kessler in the CFP story, is $15 to $20 million per year per school, per Power Five school, would potentially be shared with athletes. That's kind of the numbers that are right now being thrown around. Obviously, that's a significant portion. You asked if it would be different depending on, you know, a school's total athletic budget. It probably should, right? A lot of people would think that it should, that would be more fair. I don't know if that's going to be the case, though. And we haven't gotten to a point where there's a settlement proposal, I don't think. So we don't know the answer to that yet.
Craig brought up your other news, and there's other news that's going on today. But the news about the Pac-2, Oregon State and Washington State, and them losing the autonomy, I guess, title. Is that immediately? Do they have any kind of window? That's not a surprise, but can you kind of explain what all that actually means?
Well, yeah. So the Pac-2 now have it's a grace period for the NCAA. You get 2 years to get back. If a conference falls, I should say first, that a to be considered an FBS conference by the NCAA standards, you have to have at least seven conference members. Well, obviously the Pac-12 won't have that, right? It'll have two members. But you get 2 year grace period to get back to that threshold, that seven, at least seven conference members. If you don't get there by 2 years, then you're no longer deemed as a conference by the NCAA. You would lose a lot of distribution, right? You lose a ton of money. What happened today, because there's still a conference, but what happened today is they've been deemed now, they've been stripped, I guess, of their autonomous powers, legislative powers. You know, the Power Five, or now the Power Four, they have legislative autonomous power. So they have weighted voting in NCAA decision making, and they get more of a weighted voting. They get autonomous powers, just like in the CFP revenue distribution model. They get more money, right? They get more voting rights in the NCAA. So they've been stripped of that. So now they're just a non-autonomous, basically a group of five. That's what they are now. So that's what happened. And no, it's not effective until August. So I think it's August 1st or August 2nd is when that starts, and they'll have 2 years from that August date to get back to seven conference members. And if they don't, then they won't be a conference at all. So they'll go from being a power league to a group of five, like they are now, treated by the NCAA, as we saw today. And then they'll go from a group of five conference to not being a conference at all if they don't get back to that seven league threshold.
Ross, you had a quote from Jared Mosley from North Texas in the article about there's been no discussion about the G5 or what the plan is when they get like all of these things. Does the G5 need to get together and discuss a plan B?
Yeah, and I you know, it's a good question. I think they are. You know, I think that a lot of folks in the G5 are in the middle of discussions over what they should do, what their next steps are, because like I said, the House lawsuit focuses only on the Power Five. And I should say, you know, I wrote this in the fall. I think I was on with you guys after I wrote the piece on Greg Sankey where I followed him around. And it was in that story about the House lawsuit and how the House lawsuit and any settlement around it will be the wedge that really breaks up the FBS. And you'll have Power Five schools sharing revenue with athletes, and you have Group of Five schools that can't and probably won't, many of them. I mean, Group of Five schools don't really turn a profit on football like the Power Five. They rely on student fees and university funding, state funding. So they can't share revenue like the Power Five in a Power Four. And so that's going to be a separating factor, and it's going to drive a wedge into FBS and really be the split, and a big gap will probably continue to widen between the power leagues and those in the group of five. And there's plenty in the group of five, plenty of athletic administrators and coaches who wish the group of five would do something else, would create their own playoff like FCS. But as we know, right, the CFP has guaranteed them a spot in the playoffs starting in 2026 in a deal that runs through 2031. So they at least have a spot, but their distribution has plummeted. And, you know, they'll be another issue that will widen the gap is this revenue sharing that could come with a settlement with the House case. And that's something that I think really concerns Group of Five administrators. You mentioned Jared Mosley. He had a great quote in there about how, hey, look, you know, we're sitting here, and while this CFP distribution, revenue distribution model is great for the Big Ten and SEC, they're kind of just thinking about themselves. What do we do, sort of thing? What does it mean for us? You know, the Group of Five went from earning 19% of the CFP distribution to earning 9% of the CFP distribution in this new deal.
Ross, is all I called it a banger of a story. It's true. That's a compliment. Great stuff. A lot of nuggets in there that were great quotes, scars, et cetera.
Yeah, I like this one. Five power leagues could not survive, neither can four. You know, there's all this talk, Ross, about the ACC and further realignment and what the Big Ten and the SEC might grow to eventually, but it does feel like not only the governance structure and the power structure is inevitably going to change, but the landscape itself, I know there's all the talk about super leagues and things like that, but that just, It's just further reinforced by the voices that are involved in this in your article, isn't it?
It's a great segue to, you know, and that's a good quote about, you know, five power leagues couldn't survive and four will not either. And it's a great segue to something we didn't talk about, which is in the footprint there in the Big 12, the Big 12 commissioner, Brett Yormark, getting his look-in provision. He was a big proponent of adding a look-in concept into this new deal, which means after the 2027 playoff, so 4 years from now, they'll have a reevaluation of all the revenue structure and all of that. And that probably was put in there in consideration for what's going on in the ACC, in the break apart. Because if you have the ACC break apart, you want to look into that deal and potentially have a change to the revenue structure. We could see that happen in 4 years.
Ross, thank you. Great stuff. Appreciate your time, as always. Ross Dellinger.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.